Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to the Spiritual Unity Radio Network, a station dedicated to the concept that all manifestations of the divine are equally valid. Join Reverend Terry Power HP, Robin McKean, and all the hosts for programming covering a wide range of spiritual topics, right here on Blog Talk Radio.
Hercules Invictus and Athena Victory celebrate the mythic impulses of ancient Greece and Rome, and they invite you to celebrate with them. Welcome to Voice of Olympus.
Yassas, welcome to Voice of Olympus. I am Hercules Invictus.
And Athena Victory.
And we are honored to be here on the Spiritual Unity Radio Network. What are we counting down to, Athena?
Oh, I think we're counting down to the apotheosis of the Hercules ceremony at Ishtar Fest.
Yeah, I'm really looking forward to that. That's on June 18th. And tonight we have a wonderful show planned. Our guest is Oscar Leon from the Aetherius Society, and tonight's topic is Atlantis, the Aetherian Revelations. Good evening, Oscar. How are you?
Good evening, Hercules and Athena. I'm doing very well, thank you.
It is wonderful to have you here, and I'm glad that we're doing the show together tonight.
Yeah, likewise. Happy to be on the show and have a little bit of a conversation here.
So tell me, Oscar, give us a little bit of background about the Aetherius Society so the folks who aren't familiar with your organization's great works can learn a little bit about it.
Sure. Briefly, the Aetherius Society, it's a spiritual organization, a metaphysical order dedicated to world healing and enlightenment. It's an organization that actively cooperates with cosmic and ascended masters from Earth and beyond to bring about this new world, this prophesied age of enlightenment on this world. We're also very active in spreading the teachings that were given by these beings, these cosmic masters, through the yogic mediumship of Dr. George King, who founded the Aetherius Society in 1955 in England. And since its founding, it's been recording and disseminating these, what we call channel transmissions or cosmic transmissions from these cosmic masters throughout the world. And these teachings, these cosmic teachings, form, I guess you could say, a cosmic philosophy, a basis which is ancient as well as universal and very timely to our current civilization and the many dangers that we're currently involved with regards to atomic experimentation, greed, hate, selfishness, etc. And since then, Dr. King has received well over 600 of these cosmic transmissions. And like I mentioned earlier, the other aspect or the other function of the Aetherius Society is to actively cooperate with these beings to radiate spiritual energy, not only to humanity as a whole, but also back to the Mother Earth as a living entity. And also throughout other parts of the cosmos. So it's a very cosmic organization in nature, but very much dedicated to the enlightenment of the human race.
That is extremely awesome. And you guys are very active. You do ceremonies atop mountains several times a year. Would you care to tell us a little bit about that?
Yeah, so a lot of the activities and these different means of cooperating with the Cosmic Masters that started in the time of Dr. King, he passed on in 97, much of those activities and cosmic missions continue to this day, one of which is these pilgrimages that you refer to as far as going to these cosmically charged holy mountains. Dr. King serves the channel for a cosmic charge to be sent through him and into certain mountains around the world, in the UK and the Americas, and even down in Australia and New Zealand. And to this day, throughout the summer months, and in other parts of the world, obviously during the warmer season, we go and gather upon these mountains right near where they were actually charged by Dr. King, or I should say through Dr. King, and invoke this energy through prayer, through visualization, through mantras and other mystic techniques to tap into this energy and radiate it, send it out to the world as a whole. And that was one of the unique aspects of these holy mountains, or for the reason to charge these holy mountains, is that anybody of any development or spiritual sensitivity can tap into the energies and send them out to the world, as opposed to many other holy mountains throughout the world that are I would say, more so reserved for adepts and advanced masters to work with. So these New Age holy mountains charged through Dr. King were universal in the sense that anybody can go up and radiate this energy. And that principle is also applied in other missions, cosmic missions that we perform to this day, one of them being Operation Prayer Power, where we gather together at different centers in the Aetherius Society, using, again, certain mystic practices to invoke and channel these higher spiritual energies into a radionic machines, which we can store and then radiate out to the world in a much more concentrated fashion to areas in need of it.
That is something that we'll talk about in the second half of the show. And a lot of folks that we work with are phenomenally interested in Tesla. And
right.
When I told them about your prayer batteries, they were really interested in learning more about those. So I want to devote a whole section of the show and possibly an entire show just to the prayer batteries.
Sure. Yeah, absolutely.
Now, Oscar, since Dr. King's passing, has anyone else been channeling Aetherius or any of the other cosmic masters?
Yeah, Hercules, we get that question a lot. Before... I would say before Dr. King passed, and in his latter years, when he felt that he needed to make preparations for the continuance of the Aetherius Society and the missions after he left, he established a directorship in the Aetherius Society that was split between the two headquarters, and also, well, basically that was going to be able to continue the organization and the functioning of all major activities of the Aetherius Society. He also did specify that there was not going to be another channel, in the position that he held, channeling these messages from these cosmic masters. Actually, that statement was... came through a channel transmission, I believe, by the Master Aetherius himself, stating that Dr. King would not be replaced, also specifying that there wasn't going to be a need, per se, for another channel. Again, there was well over 600 of these transmissions that were, ancient in nature, but also timeless. And a lot of the information given regarding the cosmic missions and the batteries and the radionic devices, a lot of that, to our knowledge, was going to be pertinent for at least for the next 1,000 years. So a lot of the missions were set up by Dr. King to be able to continue for at least the next 1,000 years and even longer.
The transmissions are very comprehensive. and they give you a lot to work on. So I can well believe that if humanity applied itself, it would take a good millennium to integrate all of those practices and to allow them to transform us so that
absolutely.
We too reach the ascension.
Absolutely, absolutely. I mean, even just the science of radionics itself is, you know, thousands of years ahead of its time. It's a technology which, you know, I'm sure we'll get into shortly, that the Atlanteans had, and even before them the Lemurians had. And, you know, it's a new variation or version, I guess, of this technology starting to just now surface again, even with Tesla, you know, started back in time of Tesla as well. This technology is starting to develop slowly, you know, in its kindergarten stages, and a lot of the information that came through Dr. King from in the cosmic transmissions was bringing forth basically a futuristic science and a way of incorporating spiritual and cosmic topics with the sciences. So yes, definitely very, very, very advanced and ahead of its time.
And certainly in our lifetime, we've seen the synthesis of spirituality and science at an increasing rate. And it's brought us to some very interesting places, especially with the quantum physics and the quantum mechanics, where depending on who you're listening to, you really don't know how much science or spirituality or what combination of each is coming through what they're saying. But it's very fascinating that there's a synthesis.
Yes, absolutely, absolutely. Even the quote-unquote orthodox science is starting to uncover and unravel some of these deeper mystic spiritual qualities of the sciences. So it's a very fascinating time that we're living in, I believe, and this unification or reunification of science and spirituality is going to be a vast, vast game changer in our future.
Before we started the show, we had a brief conversation, and I was telling you how much I marveled at your ability to present the concepts of the Aetherius Society through the videos that are on the site. And I'm phenomenally impressed with the simplicity and power with which you speak. So if folks explore the site, you will be finding Oscar there and learning more about the Aetherius Society. If I may ask, what sparked your spiritual pilgrimage, and how did it bring you to the Aetherius Society?
Well, that can be a very long story, but I'll try and make it a very short story.
Thank you.
I was raised a Catholic. I was born in Peru, and I was brought over here as a kid and raised in the Catholic tradition. So that was the kind of background of my religious or spiritual beliefs. But it was at quite a young age, maybe around, I think it was about 10 or 11, that I started to question some of the beliefs and dogma of the Catholic tradition and the Catholic religion. It never was nothing major to me, but I did remember feeling this emptiness, or like something was missing in our understanding, or my understanding, or the church's understanding of the life we live in and the world we live on. And it was about later on in my teenage years, and to be really honest with you, Hercules, I dabbled in certain, I guess you could call them, mind-altering substances in my teenage years that also have a very ancient and shamanic tradition in different cultures. And what fascinated me about these experiences I had is that it started to awaken something within me. Not only did I start to have more questions, but I started to have experiences that pointed me in the direction of something greater, something more divine, something, you know, deeply and truly spiritual that was not only in life all around me, but within myself. And I soon found myself turning towards the East, towards the Eastern traditions and philosophies, and I was got into studying Buddhism, Taoism. I also turned some attention to ancient yoga, ancient India, and those philosophies and practices, the Vedas, etc. I also turned my attention again to the south and my roots in Peru, the Incan cosmology, the ancient Andean mysticism and shamanic practices. So there was, it was like a door was opened, you know, to all the other great traditions and philosophies of the world. And I was excited. I was really interested and just wanted to learn as much as I could about life, because I felt that we were being, on the one hand, almost lied to. And you know, with all these government conspiracies and political this and political that, I felt like there was a great truth that was being hidden from us, and I was just so thirsty and so hungry to find that. And eventually, as I graduated high school, got into college, I started to develop a very, very deep reverence for the Mother Earth, and also recognition that humanity as a whole was just suffering, and we were dying, and we were killing each other and just being just horribly inhumane. And I felt like I wanted to give back to the Mother Earth, and I wanted to heal and help the human race as a whole. And I felt like I wanted to find some organization, some spiritual master that I can just devote all of my energy to for this great purpose. And so, long story short, I was at an event up in Northern California, and this lady comes up to me during the middle of the night, just straight up to me, and looked me dead in the eye, said, "Oscar." Well, she didn't say Oscar, but she looked at me and she said, "You're looking for a master, aren't you?" And so she got my attention, and she spoke to me briefly about the Aetherius Society, briefly about Dr. King and some of the cosmic missions and teachings, and it struck a deep chord. It struck a really deep chord. But, of course, because a lot of it had to do with extraterrestrial information, UFOs, this and that, and also, you know, because of a lot of the misinformation being spread about UFOs and ETs, there was a little bit of a resistance. So it was in the back of my mind for about a year and a half. I still dabbled in other things. In the meantime, I came back from a trip to Peru, and I felt an inner call to go visit the Aetherius Society down at their headquarters in Hollywood. And that was basically my turning point, Hercules. I met some of the people. You know, it all became real. You know, it was not just what I read on the website or heard on a cassette. I went to a couple services, and everything just started to click, and I decided that this is my channel. This is my means to really being of service to the world.
You're extremely fortunate. Your path found you, it seems. After you were looking around for something, it came right up to you and said, "Oscar," and I handed you the information that you needed.
Yeah, it was a very, very interesting synchronistic series of events. I'm just really glad to have been able to find it in this lifetime, because as I'm sure you know, many people spend lifetimes searching for great truth and a great path.
And what is your current role with the Aetherius Society?
I'm one of the volunteer staff members. We have a small group of staff members who basically do all the running of the organization on a day-to-day basis. I'm also a full-time employee. There's an even smaller handful of employees here that are here during the day. I'm also an ordained minister recently, as of last year, and a special missions task force member, which means I take part in many of the cosmic missions that are performed by the Aetherius Society, as well as one of the mentors of the Aetherius Society here in the American headquarters.
That's impressive.
And a resident for the past about 8 years.
And it seems like you found your spiritual home. And again, that is a very awesome thing, and you're very fortunate.
Yeah. It was a dream come true, Hercules. It took a lot to get here. I went through many, many, many trials and tribulations. I did mention that, like I said, I had dabbled in some mind-altering substances, and it wasn't all very of a positive nature. Had a little bit of an issue with addictions and you know, a little bit of in trouble with the law and a lot of relationship issues, a lot of ups and downs. Finally got through it and was fortunate to be offered a position where I can basically dedicate my life to this spiritual cause, which has been my dream for over a decade. And, you know, and that being said, you know, it still takes a lot of work. It's still very difficult and challenging. We're in the middle of Hollywood. The vibrations around us are just, it's crazy. We have to be able to get into a deep spiritual state, a heightened state, to perform the missions, to do the prayers and radiate the energy. And then at the same time, we have to be able to come down to function in a very physical, materialistic world. So it's difficult. It is difficult. It's a difficult path, but there's no other place I'd rather be. And to know that we're doing so much for the world in cooperation with these great masters, it's just a dream.
And one of the things I greatly admire about the Aetherius Society is its emphasis on service to all of humanity through following its unique spiritual path and in cooperation with the Celestials in helping those of us who are still here in these type of vibrations and this type of environment.
Absolutely. That I mean, if you could sum up the Aetherius Society with one word, it would be service, without a doubt. The fundamental teaching, the ancient philosophy of the Cosmic Masters, as well as the ancient philosophy of all major religions on this earth, and I believe of future religions to come or future philosophies, is that we are all connected. We're really one life form manifesting itself in different bodies, gaining experience to spiritually evolve and return back to this one great divine source from which we came. And if in fact that is true, and we accept this as a belief that we are all connected, just like your pinky is connected to the rest of your body, it's only logical that you would take care of every aspect of the body and want to serve every aspect of the body, because in reality, it's just another part of you. And it is so important that we do these services to help to slowly manipulate our overall karmic pattern for the good and start to bring about this worldwide rise in vibration, and which will bring in the new age and the new world on this earth.
What do you find is the biggest misconception people have about the Aetherius Society?
That we're some new age UFO cult and, you know, founded by some taxi driver who was just not quite right in the mind. We get a lot of misunderstandings and misconceptions. People look at us on the face of it and see the UFOs and the ETs, and there's a lot of fear surrounding those subjects, and it's understandable. You know, we've had some kind of sketchy organizations, UFO, ET cults, where, you know, people drink Kool-Aid and different things and of the such. So, you know, it's understandable. But it's also, you know, we should also take some time to investigate certain things, regardless of the belief and how far out it may be. Any organization, any spiritual belief, you know, deserves to be heard and investigated, especially, you know, an organization making claims the like of which Dr. King and the Cosmic Masters have been making through the Aetherius Society for decades. So it's not a cult in that sense or UFO cult just based on UFO ET phenomena. That certainly is a part of the Aetherius Society, but it's like saying, you know, it's like confusing the celebrity for the limo it drives in. You know, what's more important to us is the people manning or the beings manning these spacecraft, the messages that they bring to Earth, and the missions that they are embarked on upon this world, and how we can cooperate with them. So it's fundamentally a spiritual organization, truly, truly dedicated to the human race and to the Mother Earth, but with a very much cosmic concept and a means of actively, directly cooperating with the Cosmic Masters.
And that is a very noble thing.
Mm-hmm.
Now, before we go to our song break, we'll start easing into Atlantis, and we will start with Maldek. So what can you tell us about Maldek?
Yes, I was going to start us back there as well. Because to understand Atlantis, I think it helps to put it into context with its previous major civilizations. The human race originally came, this is according to our understanding, originally came from a planet called Maldek, which was a planet between Mars and Jupiter. And in its heyday, it was a very advanced civilization, both scientifically and spiritually. Lots of psychic development of the people and its technology was extremely advanced. It flourished. However, there came a disease, what is referred to as a disease, and selfishness and greed started to take over the minds of some of its scientists and priests, and there started to be a split in the population, you know, those wanting to use the forces for good and those wanting to use it for selfish means. And eventually, they had developed the science of atomic warfare and nuclear warfare to a much greater extent than that which we have developed today. It was much more powerful, the type of atomic technology they had developed on Maldek. And eventually, we went to war with each other. The whole human race was at war, and they were exploding all these nuclear weapons to such an extent that they literally blew the planet up. We had destroyed a living celestial god, which was known as Maldek. And today, all that is left of it is the asteroid belt, which, interestingly enough, some scientists, some astrophysicists are postulating because they are finding radioactive elements in the asteroid belt, and some are postulating that it could very well have been a planet that was destroyed by nuclear warfare. Just an interesting side note there. And so the human race had destroyed this planet, and by the law of karma, you know, there needed to be a reaction, not as a punishment. Karma does not serve to punish, but only to teach. And we needed another place, another home, another classroom to learn the lessons that we had obviously failed to learn by the destruction of a holy being. Various other planets were not able to take us for certain reasons. They're very highly advanced planets in our solar system. The Mother Earth, Terra, as it's also known as, or Gaia, was approached, and she willingly accepted, as an entity, as a divine being, she willingly accepted to take us, the human race, on her back and give us refuge, give us a home, to be able to reincarnate and go through the lessons of evolution once more, to allow us, you know, to learn the lessons that we had failed to learn and to grow even further than that. And so that is how the human race originally came to the planet Earth. And it's not to say that there was no life before we came. And I'm talking about over 18 million years ago now when we had first come to Earth. There was another race of beings known as Adamic man in some traditions. And they were the elders or the spiritual elders who helped this transition, I guess you could call it, of the human race onto this planet Earth. And then from there,
wow.
I don't know if you want to stop there or should I touch it into Lemuria?
After we come back from break, most certainly so. That is a fascinating intro to what happens next. Thank you very much for weaving that tale for us, Oscar.
Sure thing. Sounds good.
So, Athena, which song are we listening to today?
Well, today we're going to hear Darth the Bard with Isis Unveiled.
Ah, nod to Madame Blavatsky. Oscar will be back in a few minutes. We're going to go back in the quiet room. Talk to you later.
Okay, sounds good.
Create the time with every move and line. Jackal guard against the moon, and the game will be over soon. Can you hear the earth sighing as he turns towards the sky? The time of Ra is ending, and the sun begins to die. Can you see her in the night? Can you feel it changing? Sky and earth, they are as one. Daughter and son, sister, lover, goddess, queen, mother to every living being. Your light creates a shadow as you show your face unveiled. Your brother said betrays you. There's a coffin on the Nile. Can you feel it changing? Can you see her in the night? Can you feel it changing? Fourteen pieces to the wind, to all parts of the land, scattered widely she will find, but form a lover from her hands. The sky, her tears of gladness, fall to the fertile ground, and set lost in his madness, to the desert he is bound. Can you feel it changing? Can you see her in the
The Magic Jukebox Podcast presents Caldera Fest Pagan Music Festival, May 26th through May 30th in Lafayette, Georgia. This event will feature the best in pagan music and over 100 vendors and workshops. Featuring Tuatha Day, Dave the Bard, S.J. Tucker, Wendy Rule, Digis Christ Superdrum, Dragon Ritual Drummers, and many more. Also featuring the official release of the Green Album. This eclectic compilation of thoughts and sounds will feature various acts performing at Caldera Fest, benefiting the Rainforest Trust. Come on out and have the time of your life. Caldera Fest Pagan Music Festival, May 26th through 30th at Cherokee Farms in Lafayette, Georgia. For more information, visit calderafest.com today. See you there.
You're listening to the Spiritual Unity Radio Network. Thanks for sticking around. And now, back to the show.
This is Hercules, and we're back.
And you just listened to Darv the Bard with Isis Unveiled.
Ah, very nice song. And tonight we have a great show. We are speaking with Oscar Leon from the Aetherius Society. And the topic is Atlantis, the Aetherius Revelations. And we just heard about the destruction of Maldek and the migration of humanity to Gaia, our fair planet. Welcome back, Oscar.
Thanks, Hercules.
And now we go from Maldek to Lemuria, if I'm not mistaken.
Yes. So so we migrated to this planet, and slowly, you know, with a bit of guidance at first from the previous civilization or the previous race who were here to guide us in this transition, the Adamic man, we over time evolved. And again, this is a, you know, who, it wasn't specified how long this took, but we eventually evolved and formed a very advanced civilization known as Lemuria, or also known as Mu in some traditions. And again, this civilization, like the former one of Maldek, on the planet Maldek, became very advanced in both scientific, technological, and spiritual ways. We started to have communication, open communication and interaction with the space people, people from other planets. The Lemurian civilization received great teachings from other cosmic masters, as well as guidance and help in their civilization. It was a flourishing civilization in many, many ways, culturally, scientifically, spiritually. And again, there was a biggest open exchange, I would say, not only with communication, but also even with travel with the other planets, or onto the other planets. But then again, the disease came, this disease of greed and selfishness, and there was another split in the civilization between this time the white magicians, known as the white magicians, and those known as the black magicians, those involved in selfish means and purposes and distortion of the spiritual energies. And this split, again, manifested in a war. As they were very technologically advanced, they also had dabbled into atomic and nuclear technology and warfare. And they unlocked, again, the forces within the God's tiny building blocks. And again, through a civil war of a vast nature, the civilization of Lemuria was destroyed. However, this time, the planet itself was not destroyed, obviously. There were many reasons why that would not be allowed, but the human race, as the civilization of Lemuria, was destroyed. Before this destruction, though, I did want to mention that many of the white magicians were evacuated. by the cosmic beings from other planets. They saw what was happening, they foresaw what was going to happen, and they evacuated the white magicians onto the other planets and allowed those who remained, the warring factions, to basically perish, and the continent of Mu over time sank in the region of the Pacific Ocean. So again, the human race over time, had to evolve itself through, various gross limitations and mutations because of the radioactive poisoning that came about as a result of the nuclear warfare. And now we find ourselves in a period of history about a few hundred thousand years ago. And slowly at first, but gradually, the human race evolved itself into another highly advanced civilization. And this civilization was known as Atlantis. And again, similarly to the previous major civilizations, there was a great advancement in the technological regions as well as the spiritual regions. There was communication and guidance from the higher spheres, from the higher planets, from these cosmic masters, and there was even the science of radionics, which I mentioned in the beginning of this show, was very much developed. They were using various tools to harness, to tune into, harness, store solar energy and the subtle energies coming from the sun, to be able to do many things, not only power their cities, but do things like levitate, big, major objects and construct buildings and things of that nature using solar energy and sound technology and radionic sciences to do these things. So it was a very, very, very advanced civilization who had also a great deal of psychic powers. But this time there was a three-way split. You had on the one hand the, those bent on gaining greater control and greater power for themselves. You had the majority who were pretty much apathetic and indifferent to what was happening all around them. And then you had the few who were very much interested in the higher teachings and were basically the white magicians of the civilization. And eventually there was what was referred to as a mental battle on Atlantis between the white magicians and the black magicians, those the practitioners of the black arts. And again, the dark ones, these evil magicians, unlocked the quote-unquote Pandora's box with atomic warfare and atomic weapons. And interestingly enough, there are two of these that were mentioned in the cosmic transmissions. The name of two of these weapons, one is the Indra's dart, and the other is the Brahma weapon. Both of which are mentioned in the ancient Vedic texts. I believe it's the Mahabharata, if not the Ramayana, make reference to these weapons. They use these weapons, and again, the civilization became destroyed through these nuclear atomic warfare, and Atlantis, the continent of Atlantis, as we know, sunk. And similarly, like in before the destruction of Lemuria, the cosmic masters came and evacuated the white magicians onto their own planets before the destruction of the civilization of Atlantis. And there was another aspect that I also did want to mention that happened with the destruction of Lemuria and Atlantis, and it very much has to do with the law of karma. After Lemuria was destroyed by the atomic and nuclear warfare, there was the ionosphere of Earth was actually put up. Before that time, it did not exist. There was a very pure and open exchange of cosmic and solar energies with this Earth. We were able to tune into and make use of much more of these cosmic energies than we are today. But because of what happened in Lemuria, this bubble, so to speak, this ionosphere, and I think Blavatsky refers to it as the ring past knot, was put up in our atmosphere to slow down or prevent some of these higher direct cosmic and solar energies. Because by doing so, it would slow, in essence, slow down our evolution, slow down our growth, which would give us more time to learn the lessons of properly using these energies when we were able to actually attain them. So it's almost like we were kind of put in school with many more grades so that we'd have more time to learn the lessons. And that was put up after the destruction of Lemuria, and after Atlantis went down, that ionosphere, or the ring past knot, was intensified. And so here we are today, hundreds of thousands of years later, having gone through a slow process of evolution. We don't have a direct access to the cosmic and solar rays. There is access, but it takes a lot much more effort to gain the access, but all of this to give us more time to learn the lessons, to properly spiritually evolve ourselves and make use of the technologies available to us for the betterment of the human race and the spiritual evolution of the human race, and not for selfish and greedy means. And unfortunately, we find ourselves in a similar situation today, as you know, with nuclear experimentation. However, it was stated very emphatically by the cosmic masters that not again are we going to be allowed to destroy this planet. We still run the risk of destroying the human civilization, but not the planet itself. So it's up to us with regards to how many of us humans, how big a portion of the human race was willing to advance and evolve themselves to spiritually physically withstand the spiritual vibrations of the Mother Earth, which, as we know, are rising in vibration. And those who are not able to withstand this rise in vibration are going to have to, this time, continue their evolution, their lessons, on another classroom, on another planet.
And on that note, we will end part one of our discussion. There's so much more we need to touch on. I want to thank you very much for being on the show, Oscar. Tell us, what's next for you and for the Aetherius Society?
Well, the mission continues. You know, we're continuing to cooperate with the cosmic masters and sending out more and more spiritual energy through the cosmic missions and spreading the teachings and the awareness of the cosmic masters and the great change that is happening on the Mother Earth. You know, she's rising in vibration, and the big push is for us to increase our vibrations to be able to continue to live here on this beautiful planet, Terra, and into the new age, the new world. So our activities are continuing as much as ever, and it's just trying to build more awareness and get more and more groups to cooperate with us, not necessarily to join the Aetherius Society, but to cooperate with the Aetherius Society in this great service to mankind.
Well, Olympus is definitely there and ready to cooperate with the Aetherius Society. Thank you. How can folks find out more about the Aetherius Society and its wonderful work?
There's a lot of resources on the web. Our main international site is aetherius.org. Aetherius, by the way, is a name taken from a Greek origin. I just thought I'd share that.
Thank you.
It's not the true name of the cosmic master Aetherius, but it's his pseudonym. Anyway, that's spelled aetherius.org. Aetherius.org. We have a lot of information there. We also have a YouTube channel. You can look for us on YouTube under the Aetherius Society, as well as on Facebook. There's lots of stuff out there on the internet.
Thank you again, Oscar. Joyous journeys and many blessings. And may folks see the Aetherius Society for the wonderful service organization it is. And I look forward to our next conversation.
Thank you, Hercules. Thank you, Athena. It was great to be on your show. And likewise, look forward to continuing you next time.
Okay, be well.
Blessings.
For more information on Hercules and Athena, visit our website at www.herculesinvictus.net. For contact and community, join us on Facebook at Hercules Invictus, Mythic Atlantis, or the Voice of Olympus. Hercules and Athena are also available for Olympian workshops, mythic activities, epic special events, and appearances.
And now for the CERN updates. Tomorrow night, Terry and Robin will be continuing their series on the Fool's Journey through the Major Arcana with a discussion of the Devil card. Thursday night, Brian Hinkey will be joining Terry and Robin under the Shady Tree. They will be discussing many things. Brian's upcoming event and Caldera Fest being two of them. The following Tuesday, the 3rd of May, will be CERN's live on-air Beltane ritual. And on Thursday, the 5th of May, Ginger Doss will be with Terry and Robin under a shady tree. Meet Terry and Robin at Caldera Fest on Memorial Day weekend. And at Pittsburgh Pagans in the Park on the 11th of June. And, of course, at Ishtar Fest, where we'll be joining them on the 18th of June.
And here's some Olympian updates. Come to Hero Saints and Spirit Guides on Thursday, April 28, 2016, between 7 and 8 p.m. at the Creskill Public Library. We will also be forming Star Center Atlantis in Tenafly in May 2016.
And our next show here on Voice of Olympus will be We Mourn for Adonais with Admiral Bob Bossler from Starfleet Region 7. Thank you for joining us, and we bid you joyous journeys.
Farewell.
Thanks for listening to the Spiritual Unity Radio Network. Join us 7 nights a week for exciting programming covering a variety of expressions of faith. And remember, all manifestations of the divine are equally valid.